So let's review. Our shir began by referring to the Mishnah Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, which said, D'yoy, k'dei lichtav shtei oisis. The minimum amount of ink for one to be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos is the amount needed to write two letters. The Gemara cites several related rulings of Rava. Amar Rava, hoitzi shtei oisis, because of kashu mahal l'chayiv. If one carried ink out on Shabbos and wrote two letters while walking, he is chayiv for carrying because the writing is considered the hanocha. As we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, in order to be chayiv for itzah, there must be an akira, lifting it up from its place, and hanocha, setting it down. Rava teaches us, ksivasan zuhi anachasan. The writing is considered the placing down of the ink. But on my Rava, Rava also said, if somebody carried out one letter's worth of ink and wrote with it, and then went back for another letter's worth of ink and carried that too, he is not chayiv. The two carryings do not combine to make the shir, the minimum amount, because by the time he carried the second time, the first ink had dried a bit, and ink shrinks as it dries, so you don't have the minimum amount anymore. Rav also taught another rule about combining two acts of carrying on Shabbos. Hoitzi chatzi gregris achas v'hinicha. If he took out half a shear of food and put it down, and then removed it, and then carried out another half a shear to that place, the two carryings do not combine, and he is not chai for carrying. Since the first half is no longer there, the second half has nothing to combine with. V'amar Rava. Rava taught one more rule about combining two acts of carrying. If one took a half a shear of food and put it down, and then carried out another half a shear and passed it within three tefachim of the first half a shear, then the two do combine, even though he did not put the second one down. Because within three tefachim is considered as having been set down there based on the halacha of lavad. The Gemara then cites a brayso which speaks about two acts of carrying. If one took out a half a shear and put it down, and then took out another half a shear, Behelam echad chayiv. If in between the two times he carried, he did not become aware that it is Shabbos or that carrying is forbidden on Shabbos, then the two actions combine and he's chayiv chatas. B'shtei halam is potter. If he did realize in between, it is two periods of unawareness for which he is potter because they cannot combine, and each incident by itself had no shear. But Rabbi Yossi adds, even behelam echad, if it is l'shtei rishui is potter. If each time he carried, he put the half a shear down into a different rishus, then the two actions do not combine. Then the Gemara discusses the next part of the Mishnah, which said, K'chol k'dei likchol ayin achas. The minimum amount for k'chol eye makeup is enough to paint one eye. The Gemara asks, Hol loy kachli, why is that a significant amount? Women do not color just one eye. Rav Huna answers, Shekein tznuois k'chlis ayin achas. The modest women of larger cities covered their faces and left only one eye uncovered so that they could see, so they only needed to color the one eye that was uncovered. However, in small villages with simpler lifestyles, it was not necessary to cover their faces. Therefore, the Braisa rules as follows. Im lerfua k'dei likchol ayin achas. If for medicinal purposes, the shear is an amount for one eye. Im lekashet b'shtei einayim. If for cosmetic purposes, the shear is an amount for two eyes. The Gemara then explained some other items and their amounts the Mishnah had mentioned. The minimum for shava, wax, is k'dei litin al pi nek of katan shayayin, enough to seal the small hole that they made in wine barrels. The amount for devik, glue, is k'dei litin b'reish shavshav sh'b'reish kona shel tziyadin, the amount that trappers used to smear on boards to catch birds. Zephis for gophers, pitch and sulfur, k'dei lasis nek of katan, to make a small hole in the seal of a vial which was made of sulfur or pitch. The amount for charas is crushed brick, is the amount needed to make a seal around the hole in the gold refiner's furnace, according to the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yehuda says it's the amount needed to plaster the cracks of the tripods that held up their small stoves. The Gemara then discusses the next part of the Mishnah, which said the minimum amount for sid plaster is k'dei losud k'tana shebebanas, enough to smear on a little one of the girls. The Gemara brings a brayso which explains that this means the little finger of girls. And then the Gemara talks about the practice of women who used plaster to remove unwanted hair. If you just said in the name of Rav, Benois aniyim toifleis oisin besid, poor people would use plaster, rich people use fine flour, and the daughters of kings would use shemen hamor, as stated in the Megillah, shir shechadashim b'shemen hamor, which is either perfumed oil or oil made from unripe olives. Then the Gemara tells the story of Rav Bibi, who smeared his daughter with plaster one limb at a time, which made her so beautiful that people paid 400 zuz for her dowry. The Gemara says that a non-Jew had the same idea, but tafla b'chad zimna. He smeared his daughter all at once, which is deadly, and it killed her. The Gemara then discusses the last part of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda had said that the minimum amount for sid is enough to smear a kilkel, And Ibn Khamiya said it's enough to smear anandipi. The Gemara asks, my kilkel or my andipi? What do these words mean? Rav said that smearing a kilkel means smoothing the hair on the temples. And andipi means removing the hair underneath the temples. But the Gemara rejects this because of a brayso which says, Ibn Khamiya bebeitzes asid, that Ibn Khamiya's measurement is correct if we are talking about a lump of plaster, instead of the watery kind of plaster that you use to smooth your hair. So Ibn Khamiya cannot mean removing the hair under the temple, because you don't use hard plaster for that. Therefore, the Gemara gives other explanations of andipi. Rav Kahana said it was the marks they made on measuring utensils in the Beis HaMikdash to make it easy to know how much wine to take. Another explanation is apusa, the thick plaster that people put on their forehead to give it a good color. The next Mishnah continues to list the minimum amounts for different substances. It says the minimum amount for adama, clay, is a machlekes. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's the amount you need to seal a sack of cargo, and according to the Chacham, it's the amount you need to seal a letter. Zevel v'choil hadak, the minimum for fertilizer, is also a machlekes. Rabbi Kiva says it's the amount you use to fertilize a single stalk of cabbage, but the Chacham says it's the amount you need to fertilize a leek, which is a smaller amount. Choil hagas, the minimum for coarse sand is the amount to put on a shovel full of plaster. The Gemara explains that they used to mix sand with plaster to make a stronger mixture. As part of this discussion, the Gemara cites a braisa, which teaches that due to the obligation to remember more than the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the temple, lo yosid adam es beis habesid, one may not plaster his home with lime, elam kin iru b'tevan esid, unless he mixes in some straw or sand, which darkens the lime somewhat. The Mishnah continues. The minimum amount for kana, a reed, is k'delasis kulmas, large enough to make a pen. But if the reed is too thick, or it's cracked, so you can't use it as a pen, then the minimum is k'delavashal by beya kalash b'beitzim, enough to use as fuel to cook the most easily cooked of all eggs, which the Gemara defines as an egg of a chicken. The Gemara adds, since kol shiuri shabbos begregris, regarding carrying the share of all foods is a gregris, a dried fig, which is less than an egg, here too we mean to say, the shear of reeds is in the amount needed to cook eggs, which cook quickly in the amount of a gregris.